My Lord, my Lord. I'm going to invite you all to stand with me right now. Sister, thank you for leading us this morning. Musicians, we praise God for you all. Praise God for you all. Numbers chapter 35. If you would take your Bibles in hand right now, there is a word from the Lord. Somebody ought to say amen. Somebody ought to say hallelujah. Oh, praise his name. Numbers chapter 35 and beginning at verse 6. Numbers chapter 35 and beginning at verse 6. The Bible says, and among the cities which you shall give unto the Levites, there shall be 6 cities for refuge, which you shall appoint for the manslayer, that he may flee there. And to them you shall add 42 cities. Let's go down to verse 9. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when you be come over Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint you cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the slayer may flee there, which kills any person unawares. And they shall be unto you cities for refuge from the avenger, that the manslayer die not until he stand before the congregation in judgment. And of these cities which you shall give, 6 cities shall you have for refuge. You shall give 3 cities on this side of Jordan, and 3 cities shall you give in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These 6 cities shall be a refuge, both for the children of Israel and for the stranger, and for the sojourner among them, that everyone that kills any person unawares may flee there. I want to speak to you for the next few minutes on the topic, the hiding place. The hiding place. Would you be seated in the presence of the Lord? The Hiding Place was a 1971 book on the life of Corrie ten Boom and her sister, Betsy ten Boom, who lived through Nazi occupation of their birthplace, Holland, during World War II. In the book, and what became later a movie, Corrie ten Boom and her family made a decision to help the Jews who were fleeing from Germany. And so as to make discovery and capture of their Jewish friends most difficult, the Ten Boom family had a special underground chamber designed in their home to hide and to protect the Jews. They called it the hiding place. Later in the story, Corrie ten Boom and her sister and family were discovered by the Nazis, and they were shipped off to concentration camps where Betsy died. But along the journey, these two sisters made some interesting and amazing discoveries. One is that we all need a hiding place. See, down through the centuries, persecuted people needed hiding places. Good to see you, Brother Barron. The Huguenots and the Waldenses, guardians of Bible truths in the dark ages, needed hiding places from papal persecution. Black slaves around the world and here in North America needed hiding places, and we called it the Underground Railroad. When we were children, and I'm sure that we all played that game, hide and seek or hide and go seek, and we had lots of fun with it. But now that I've gotten older, I realize that there is a hard and cruel reality to life. Is no longer a game, it's real. As children of God, we have an enemy. We have a foe who seeks to do us harm. There is a price on our heads. There is a bounty on each of us, dead or alive. There is a warrant out for our arrest. We are in real and present danger. Bible says, as Sister Lucene said it
in the children's story today. And I like how the Lord is bringing it all together. That he is like a roaring lion walking about seeking whom he may devour. Now, if you and I go outside and we run into a lion, I'm very sure that not one of us would act casually around that beast. We all will try to find some cover. Can I get a witness out there? We all are going to look for the nearest place of safety that we can find. Our enemy, the Bible says, is just like a roaring lion. He is out to devour and to destroy you, child of God. Therefore, you and I need a hiding place. We need a safe house. We need a refuge. Well, way back there in the Old Testament, God put something in place among his people to maintain justice and to preserve the rule of law. It's described here in Numbers chapter 35. I'm not going to be long this morning, so just trust you're going to follow me. But Numbers 35 describes these cities of refuge in the land of Canaan. The Levites had 48 cities that were given to them. The Levites were the ministers of worship. They were responsible for cultivating religious culture among the people of God. They were the preachers, and they were the ministers of music, and they were the worship leaders. And to this tribe called Levites were given 48 cities. And out of these 48 cities, six of them were dedicated as cities of refuge. If you're with me so far, let me hear you shout amen. Three of these six cities were on the east side and three were on the west side. The purpose of these cities of refuge was simply to preserve the right of capital crime criminals to due process and a fair trial. Long before American law, God already had some things in place. You were innocent until proven guilty. It was to ensure that the accused would get to have his or her day in court, as we would say. See, there was a law back then known as the law of retribution. According to this law, it was the right and even the responsibility, listen to me now, of the next of kin, the nearest blood relative, to exact vengeance on the one who has taken the life of their relative. It was called the law of retribution. The circumstances of the person's life being taken was totally irrelevant. What was important was that if you'd taken somebody's life, you deserve to die. Are y'all with me today? Look at verses 30, 31, and 33 of Numbers chapter 35. Here's what the Bible says. Whosoever killeth any person, the murderer shall be put to death by the mouth of witnesses. Moreover, verse 31, you shall take no satisfaction. That means no ransom. No money could be given to atone for the death of somebody. But he shall surely be put to death. I'm going somewhere. So you shall not pollute the land or defile the land where you are, for blood defiles the land, and the land cannot be cleansed of the blood that is shed therein, but by the blood of him that sheds it. This law was intended as a deterrent against murder. And in places today where it is still practiced, the murder rate tends to be very low. I think today that if people knew that they would have to pay with their lives, they might not take other people's lives so lightly. Are you with me today? Murder is considered a capital crime because its results are irreversible. You can take something material from somebody and the court can make you return it and then some. But if you take somebody's life, there is no way to restore that except with your own blood. Now, however, there was an inherent danger in this law of retribution, in that as in our legal system, you might get the wrong person in the heat of passion and rage. Are y'all with me today? So God, in his great wisdom, put in the law a merciful provision to prevent the miscarriage of justice and to ensure that the guilty would get to have their day in court. This merciful provision was called cities of refuge. What today we might call safe houses. Places where often a star witness is kept safe until they can testify. Are y'all with me today? These cities of refuge were very important. And like so much in the Hebrew system and economy, they had a deeper spiritual significance. And I want to mention just a few points today that I believe are applicable to us in 2016. First of all, the cities of refuge teach us that we all need a refuge. We all need a hiding place. Why? Because we're all spiritual offenders. Now, I hate to say, I know it might offend your delicate sensibilities to think that you are on death row. But we're all on death row, not just the criminal behind bars. You might not have offended man's law, but you and I are all guilty of breaking a higher law. And that's the law of God. And we were born on death row. Spiritual offenders. Bible says in Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, for all, how many? All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And you might say, Pastor, what exactly is sin? 1 John 3:4 tells us what it is. It says that sin is the transgression of the law. Therefore, because we're all sinners, we're all lawbreakers. You got it, the mayor, you shout amen. So if sin is transgressing the law, we're all lawbreakers. The next question then becomes, what is the penalty for breaking God's law? Romans 6:23 tells us that the wages of sin is... So we're all on death row. We all ought to die. Come on, say amen. Therefore, just like that manslayer, we too need a refuge. Come on, say amen. We need a safe house. We need a shelter from the eternal consequences of our sins, our actions, our choices, and our decisions. Come on, say amen. Secondly, the cities of refuge teach us that we must flee. We must flee to the refuge without delay. See, the manslayer had to leave his home. He had to leave his family. Sin destroys relationships. He had to leave his home. He had to leave his family immediately. When did I say everybody? That meant that the moment word got out of what he had done, he had to pack up and find the nearest city of refuge. He could not delay, but at the peril of his own life. If somebody from that man's family found him, they had every right to kill him on the spot, and they would not be guilty. So he had to make his way quickly before he was caught. And the same is true for us. We too often delay to go to our hiding place. We know we're in trouble. We know we're dealing with issues. We know we're burdened down. We know we're discouraged. We know we're tore up from the floor up. We know we're broken, but we fail to run to our hiding place. We delay as if somehow we can pet the head of the lion. We delay as if somehow we're not in danger. We hang around, fool around, rather than finding and making and running our way to our hiding place. Now you need to know, you need to understand this morning that it wasn't too hard to find the city of refuge. There were six of them, and they were strategically placed so that from anywhere in the country, they were but a half day's journey. That means you could get there from anywhere in Israel real fast. They were close by. Are y'all with me today? I'm going somewhere. The roads to the cities of refuge were always kept in good repair. There were signs along the way pointing to the cities of refuge. And watch this now. Each of the cities, God is so awesome. Each of the cities were positioned
on some higher elevation so that they could be seen for miles. There was no way that anybody could miss the cities of refuge. And may I suggest to you today that we too have a city of refuge, a hiding place, and it is in Jesus. He is never too far away. No, he's not. Never too far away. The psalmist says that the Lord is near to the brokenhearted, and he saves the crushed in spirit. He is always and only but a prayer away. You don't have to look far to find Jesus. All you got to do is look up. Look up. Look up. Look up. As the cities of refuge were on an elevation, so Jesus died on an elevation. He was elevated. He was lifted up. As a matter of fact, before he died, he prophesied, And I, if I be lifted up, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. No way to miss him. He was lifted up so all could see him. He was lifted up so all could find him. He was lifted up so all can look to him. He was lifted up so all could come to him. Jesus Christ is our city of refuge. He is our hiding place. The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong tower, and the righteous runneth into it and are safe. God has provided for us a way of escape in Jesus. But the question is today whether or not you and I are willing to take the way of escape. So often we delay to go to Jesus with our problems. We hesitate to take some to him, because we think it's too small. Or maybe we think we can handle this one. And so there's some things we don't even choose to pray about. But think about it, church. The same God who takes care of the itty-bitty sparrow also sustains the worlds. The same God who painted the tints on the flower petals also made the mountains and hallowed out the seas. Nothing is too small or too great for our God to take care of. What a friend we have in Jesus, huh? All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. We bring so much pain upon ourselves simply because we delay. I remember one time laying down something, and I couldn't remember where I'd put it. And it caused me 3 days of grief running around looking for it. Until I stopped and prayed, said, God, reveal it to me. I need to find it. God, show it to me. And in a few minutes, I found it. How much grief and pain I would have saved had I taken the time to pray. Folks, we got to run to him without delay. Stop putting it off. Come to him today. There's some of you here today who need to make a first time or a renewed commitment to Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you. I want to challenge you. Do not put it off. Do not leave this house today without making that decision for Jesus Christ, without getting washed again, without renewing your faith in him. You've got to go to Jesus quickly. Why? Because every moment you waste is multiplied in anxiety, sorrow, frustration, and discouragement. You've got to go to Jesus quickly. Do not hesitate. Do not delay. And yet, my friends, there's one other thing that preserved the life of the manslayer. Not only did he have to seek out the city of refuge and get there quickly, but he also had to stay there. Until his trial or the death of the high priest. Oh, my Lord, my Lord. Here's the third and final lesson. Cities of refuge teach us that we must abide in the place of refuge. Look at, go back to Numbers. You got to see this for yourself. Numbers chapter 35. Let's go back there. Numbers 35. And let's look at verses 26. Look at verse 26. Go to verse 26. The Bible says, but if the slayer shall at any time come without the border of the city of his refuge, whither he was fled, and the revenger of blood find him without the borders of the city of his refuge, and the revenger of blood kill the slayer, he shall, what, everybody? Not be guilty of blood, because he should have done what? Remain in the city of his refuge until the death of the what? High priest. But after the death of the high priest, the slayer shall return into the land of his possession. You say, why? Why was this? Why did he have to wait until the high priest died? He had to wait until the high priest died because blood had been shed. And somebody had to die. And if it wasn't him, then the one who represented him before God had to die. Somebody had to die. Do you get it? And he had to abide in that city until his trial. And if he was found guilty, they'd take him out and stone him to death. But if he was innocent, if his crime was not first-degree murder, if his crime was manslaughter or death by accident, then he could go back into that city and live. But he had to stay there until the high priest serving at the time died. I want to let you know that when we come to Jesus, when we run to Jesus, first of all, we too need to abide in him. We need to stay in Jesus. Our only safety, church, is to abide in him. Every now and again, I tease little kids and mess around with them. And, you know, we make faces. And you know, little kids will run behind their mommy or daddy or standing. They'll run behind mommy and hold on to her legs, or run behind daddy and hold on to his legs. And they do all kinds of, you know, can't touch me. Well, they know I can't touch you because why? I'm behind mommy. I'm behind daddy. But in the same way, you and I've got to learn how to hide behind Jesus. As a matter of fact, when the devil comes knocking on your door and you go to the peephole and you see it's the devil out there, don't even answer it. Just turn around and say, Jesus, get the door for me. Learn how to hide behind him. After the high priest died, then he could return home to his family. The lesson is clear, and the lesson is simple. Somebody had to die. Aren't you glad today, church, that we have a high priest? We have a high priest who laid down his life for us. He died so that you and I can live. He was wounded so that you and I might be healed. He wore a crown of thorns so that you and I might wear a crown of righteousness. We have a high priest who paid the price so that you and I can live. Can I get a witness out there? He died as the pianist begins to play so that you and I one day can return home. Can return home. The point is that there could be no satisfaction for the life that was taken outside of another life. Somebody had to pay the price. Somebody had to die. And the one who died, his name was Jesus. He died so you and I don't have to die. He died so you and I can live. And today, church, we have the privilege of abiding in him. I'm thankful today for that. What about you? That somebody was willing to pay the ultimate price, and he did so willingly. And that's what these cities of refuge prophesy. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain, but oh, Jesus Christ washed it. He washed it. He washed it. He washed it. White as snow. The songwriter says, what can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Sin defiles, but blood purifies. Because he shed his blood one day, we all get a chance to go back home. You got to understand, church, that this world is not our home. We're just passing through. All the foolishness you're watching on television, politics, and all of that, you got to remember, church, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. See, our home was lost when Adam and Eve sinned. Like fugitives from justice, they could not go back home. Two angels stood there to guard the gates to Eden. They lost their Edenic home. But Jesus came and paid the price so that one day you and I can go back home. And he says to us, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. He wants to take us home, and he's coming again. And like Corrie ten Boom and her sister, who discovered that there's only one true hiding place, and that one true hiding place is in God. Amen? We have to be able to declare, like the songwriter, my faith has found a resting place. Not in device nor creed, I trust the ever-living one. His wounds for me shall plead. I need no other argument. I need no other plea. It is enough that Jesus died and that he died for me. I want to open up the doors of the church right now, because somebody today is just tired of ripping and running. You're tired of the enemy on your tracks. You're tired of being beaten up. You're just sick and tired of the devil having his way with you, making you his plaything, his toy. You need a hiding place. And it's not far from you. It's just a prayer away. It's not hard to get to. All you need to do is look up. He was lifted up on the cross. See him now. The bleeding Savior. No, the bleeding God, who was willing to come and give himself for you. The Bible says all you need to do is call on him. Call on his name. He that calleth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why? Because there's no other name on earth given among men whereby we must be saved. You want to call on his name today? All you need to do is raise your hand. You're saying, Pastor, I'm looking for a church home. Pastor, I'm looking for a hiding place. Pastor, I need a refuge. I want to come to Jesus. I want to run to him today. That's your decision, your choice. All you need to do is raise your hand right now. You're saying yes to Jesus Christ. Yes to the one who died on the cross for you. Yes to the one who assures and guarantees your eternal security and safety. I can tell you today that if you put your life in his hands, nobody can pluck you out of his hands. He says, no man can pluck you out of my hand. If you run to him as your safe house, nobody can find you. Nobody can harm you. Not as long as you're in Jesus. But it might harm your body, they can never hurt your soul. They can never change your future. They can never alter your destiny. It is safe in the hands of God. Are y'all with me today, church? Every head is bowed, every eye is closed right now. I'm about to pray, because somebody, I believe today, is yet in the valley of decision. And you need to make up your mind right now. Maybe you came with somebody today and you know they're not in the ark of safety. You know that They have not yet made up their minds about Jesus and about their eternal destiny. You don't want them to leave here today without having made that decision to make Jesus Christ their home, to make Jesus Christ their refuge, their hiding place. He's the only safe place on this earth that you can find. You want to say yes, as every head is bowed, every eye is closed. God, today we thank you for your word. We thank you today for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you, God, for being our hiding place, our refuge. And today we're running to you, each of us, because we recognize, God, that we have offended you. We have offended each other, and we have offended others. And the only covering that we have is your blood. The only covering that we have is your grace. And so, God, today, cover us. Be a wall around us. Be a hedge around us. We come to hide in your name from the presence of the manslayer, from the presence of the avenger, from the presence of the one who would do us harm. Knowing that our past is secure with you, our present is secure with you, our future is secure with you, our eternity is secure with you, our case is secure with you. We have nothing to fear with you on our side. But God, there is somebody here today who in the valley of decision, they haven't raised their hand, they have not indicated their decision. Please continue to wrestle with them and them with you. And perhaps, God, before this service is over, they need to let one of these elders know, and they need to just visit us at the door. They need to indicate to somebody their decision. May it be so, God. Let it be so. In Jesus' name, let everybody say amen. Why don't we join them in singing today? The highest mountain. Oh, the blood, let's sing together.
It flows.
Everybody sing it.
To the lowest valley. Oh, yeah.
Oh,
the blood.
Oh, yes, the blood.
That gives me strength.
Oh, yes, it gives us strength from day to day.
From day.
Reaches. Let's do it one more time. It reaches.
Oh, it reaches.
Together and give God some praise for his blood today. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. We're going to prepare this time for our foot washing service. Those who may be visiting here for the first time or visiting an Adventist church, we do, our service has two parts, foot washing service, and then we come to the table. This is how Jesus taught his disciples. This is what they did. Before they partook of the table, they washed each other's feet. You might remember, as a matter of fact, that there was no servant in the upper room. One of the disciples should have taken on that simple duty to wash each other's feet, but they were too proud to stoop that low. And so Jesus got up from the table and he put on himself a servant's robe. He took off his tunic and put on a servant's robe, and he stooped and he washed their feet. And then he said to them, what I've done to you, you ought to do to each other, because the servant is not greater than the master. And so we do that today to follow the example of Jesus. We call it the ordinance of humility. Peter said, Lord, you're not going to wash my feet. And Jesus said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you have no part with me. And then Peter said, well, Lord, wash not only my feet, but my hand all over. Wash me completely. And Jesus said, Peter, if you've been washed before, you only need now to wash your feet. If you've been baptized before, by immersion, all you need to do is wash your feet. It reminds us of that experience, and also symbolic of the fact that we need to be cleansed time and time again. And so we're going to separate into different areas for the foot washing service. The men have a designated area. Women have a designated area. Couples also have a designated area. Those of you who are visiting with us, or perhaps you need to leave, I will greet you at the door. But we're going to ask all of our ladies to stand at this time, our deaconesses to stand, and those sisters who would like to participate in the foot washing service, if you would follow these ladies in white to the designated areas at this time. All of our sisters, if you're going to participate in the foot washing service, we're going to invite you to stand and just follow the deaconesses to the designated area. We're going to ask our men to stand, our deacons. Would you stand, deacons, and lead the way to the area designated for the men? And those of us who are couples, and you wish to wash the feet of your spouse, there is a designated area as well to my right, your left. And you may exit also at this time. Those of you who choose to remain in the sanctuary, we're going to ask that you please do so quietly. This is a very sacred time. Those of you who need to leave, I'm going to be at the door to shake your hands and to see you out right now.
jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I'm unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all. Oh, how he loves us. How he loves us all. Like a hurricane, I am a tree bending beneath the weight of his wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful you are and how great your affections are for me. And oh, how he loves us all.
Oh,
away, away to hear your voice, and meet with you. Nothing else matters. My one desire is to worship you. I live to worship you. To burn.